We're turning again to the book of 1 Samuel, and we will be coming to the passage that we read together along with one or two others that will help us this morning. And our subject is that of friendship. There is an old proverb concerning a friend in need being a friend indeed. And we're going to see that in the lives of Jonathan and David, and we want to come and ask the Lord for his help as we come to examine his truth this morning. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the blessing of thy word to our hearts, that we might be as that blessed man of whom we sang in Psalm 1 this morning, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Bless us as we come now to thy precious truth. May we find within it that grace of God, that help for time of need, that comfort in time of sorrow, that encouragement in times of disappointment. May we find in the Lord Jesus Christ truly that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We ask for help and grace now in both the preaching and hearing of thy truth, asking in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We're coming again to the life of David, and in particular to the friendship that he enjoyed with David, with Jonathan, the son of Saul. And we want to look at various portions that deal with their friendship. But before we do so, I want to bring to your attention two verses that we find in the book of Proverbs. Firstly, Proverbs chapter 17, and the verse 17, where there we read that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then in chapter 18 of the book of Proverbs, in the verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wonder, have you ever had a friend that has stuck closer than a brother? That close, intimate friendship, that rare gift that's not earned or deserved, but it's all of grace. We have a sermon, a message this morning on the subject of friendship. And of course we know that beyond every earthly friendship there is a far greater friendship to be enjoyed. A friend that loveth at all times. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. While these things may be true to an extent of earthly friends, we think more particularly of the love and friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that friendship that we have with the Savior, we see it illustrated in perhaps one of the most famous friendships of all time, this friendship of David and Jonathan. And we are given an insight into that relationship between those two young men. And each time that we find David and Jonathan in the Scriptures together, there's something to be learned about the subject of friendship. And for everyone that has ever known the pain of loneliness, for those that have ever wished for that friend that could draw alongside for comfort and encouragement, well, I trust that we find in our Savior especially that friend that stays closer than a brother. If you have your Bibles open at 1 Samuel chapter 20, perhaps you would turn back a page or two to the chapter 18, to the opening verses of the chapter. We see the beginning of Jonathan and David's friendship mentioned for us. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. The first thing we notice about their friendship is the commitment that they have one to another. Chapter 18 describes for us the aftermath of the slaying of the giant Goliath. When David takes the severed head of the giant and shows it to the king, and wild celebration has filled the streets, and David is the man of the hour, a hero in everyone's sight. And we're told in verse 1 that it came to pass when he had finished speaking with Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan, of course, was the firstborn son of King Saul. He was next in line for the throne. He was himself a brave warrior. He proved that at the Battle of Michmash some months earlier, when he had led the fight against the Philistines. Now, we might say that that was his favorite outdoor sport. Now, Jonathan has witnessed the mighty victory that David has brought over Goliath, and this no doubt explains why their friendship was born. Jonathan saw in David a kindred spirit, a young man, a warrior just as he was, a patriot as he was, a man of faith as he was. And there was that attraction between the two. Here were two young men that loved the things of God, that loved to defend God's honor, that loved to go out against the Philistines to war. There was those mutual passions. And we're told that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. If you think of a rope, or two ropes being bound together, knotted together, we might say that the soul of Jonathan was knotted to that of David. In other words, the tighter that you pulled upon the ends of the rope, the tighter the knot became, the closer they were pulled together. They were knit together, joined together, inseparable as friends. Where you found one, you found the other. Now, I do think it's interesting, as the Bible describes this friendship between Jonathan and David, that we're always told of how Jonathan loved David, loved him as himself. We never read the reverse of that. In fact, it seems that the initiative always comes from Jonathan. It wasn't quite an equal relationship. I don't believe that David fully knew the depth of friendship that Jonathan had for him. Yes, they loved each other. They were friends, but it seems that Jonathan loved him more. And that's sometimes a fact of life that we have to face up to sometimes, that in almost every relationship, one person generally puts in more than the other. I think God knew that David needed a friend, and he gave David the very friend that he needed. And all the way through their friendship, it seems that the burden lies heavier upon Jonathan. And every time there's trouble or there's trial, it's Jonathan that always comes through for David. A friend loves at all times, the book of Proverbs says. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now that might seem unfair, that the burden of the relationship seems to fall more heavy upon Jonathan. Does it seem unfair? Well, if it does, perhaps it's because we tend to evaluate our friendships on the basis of whether or not they meet our needs, and not on the basis of whether the needs of someone else are being met. As long as my felt needs are being met, that's our focus. We're not going to have many close friends. We have to be prepared to put ourselves out for other people. Scripture reminds us that the man who would have friends must prove himself friendly. Now Jonathan, we're told in verse 4, chapter 18, stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. He was the crown prince. And yet he comes to David, the young shepherd boy, who has nothing, and he gives him the robe of the crown prince. Now that robe is significant, because it symbolized the one who was next in line for the throne. And by giving it to David, he is in effect saying, I know that I won't be king, but I know that one day you will be. I think there's a wonderful picture here of our Savior. And even in the fact that the friendship is largely unbalanced and most of the effort comes from Jonathan's side, do we not have the very crown prince of heaven who stripped off his robe that we might be clothed in it, that we might come into the Father's house someday in a garment fit for a king? He demonstrates a wonderful commitment to David. And I believe that commitment is on the basis of assured faith in God. We're told of how Jonathan, time and again, has made a covenant of friendship with David. A covenant friendship. He has made these solemn oaths and promises in the presence of God. I believe the friendship began with assured faith and a commitment to see the plan of God being worked out in his life, no matter what the cost was to him personally. David, someday you're going to be king. And I know that that means that I will never be king. And you're going to receive all the praise and the glory. But David, that's fine by me. I'm going to be your friend anyway. No matter what the cost might be to me personally, I'm fully committed to seeing God's best worked out in your life, even if that means I have to take the back seat and the second spot and you get the limelight and I'm in the shadows. It doesn't matter, David. I'm going to put your needs and God's plan for your life first. We see commitment in this friendship. When you come into chapter 19, we see protection in this friendship. Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Saul's son delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, and that will I tell thee. In the second glimpse of their friendship, it reveals to us the protection that Jonathan offered David. Between the beginning of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19, Saul's envy has exploded. He has sought to kill David. The women have been singing of Saul, who has killed his thousands, but David has tens of thousands. And inside that fevered brain of King Saul, envy is eating him away. He becomes paranoid. He becomes murderous in his thoughts, and he seeks to take away the life of David. Now that's put Jonathan in a very difficult position, because Saul has explained to him what he plans to do. We're going to kill David. But David is Jonathan's friend. The text goes on to tell us of how Jonathan spoke up to his father, spoke in David's defense. He pointed out to him that David had done nothing wrong. In fact, he had saved Israel by killing Goliath. And if you kill David, innocent blood will be on your hands. I tell you, that was a courageous thing to do. To go to King Saul and all of his envy and paranoia and madness and to speak against him. He didn't have to do it. He did it because he wanted to do it. Because he was seeking to protect his friends. Being a friend means that we aren't ashamed to stand alongside them when the going gets rough. We've all had our share of fair-weather friends whose major talent was disappearing when the hard times came. But a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In difficult times, friends don't walk out, they draw near. They defend. They protect. I mean, speaking up for them. That's what Jonathan did for David. We see commitment. We see courage and protection. When we come to chapter 20, we see risk itself. He goes a step further, going beyond just protecting him and deflecting Saul's rage away from him. He's actually going to go out on a limb for David now. David is fully convinced that Saul is seeking to kill him and will not change his mind. In fact, David says, there is but a step between me and death. He must leave the court of Saul, and he must leave forever. Within a matter of moments, he's about to become public enemy number one. He will be hunted and chased. He'll be tracked down like a wild animal, and Saul in his fury will seek to kill him. I must leave this place, David says. Jonathan wants to try one more time to patch things between Saul and David. And so he cooks up an ingenious plan, a test, where he can gauge Saul's reaction to David's absence at a festival. Now this is all for Jonathan's sake, because David knows how Saul is going to react. But Jonathan's not convinced. And so they come to this arrangement. David will be absent from the festival. He'll go out into a field and he'll hide himself near some stones called Ezel. And Jonathan would then seek to discern his father's mood by David's absence. And from that they would determine what Saul's intentions were towards David. Then Jonathan will come and convey the message to David. He'll shoot some arrows and he'll have his young boy with him to go and pick them up. And through that they would convey a message that if the arrows were beyond the boy, he'd say, "Go further," telling David that Saul sought to kill him. If he said to the young boy, "Come closer," David would know that it was safe to come back. And through that the message would be conveyed. And so the feast is held, and David is absent. And Saul looks and sees the empty place where David should have been, And Jonathan's watching the reaction of his father. And we read in verse 30 that Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, "Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and on to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Jonathan, you make me sick. I wish you'd never been born." And Saul, we're told in verse 33, cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Jonathan put himself in extreme risk. At extreme risk. Safeguard David. And at morning, sunrise the next day, he went out and he shot the three arrows. And he cried out to the boy that came with him as he went searching for the arrows, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And he added these words, "Make speed, haste, stay not." It was a sign to David that he was in desperate danger. And once the boy had found the arrows, Jonathan sent him back to town. David was supposed to leave, but he couldn't leave Jonathan like that. The Bible tells us that Jonathan and David came together again, and David bowed down before him three times. They embraced, wept. It says the end of verse 41, until David exceeded. He broke down. He recognized what Jonathan had done for him. He'd risked his life to save him. And he'd done it gladly. And he'd done it without complaint. And he'd done it without thought of reward or safety to self, because that's what friends do. Greater love hath no man than this. And he laid down his life for his friend. That's what Jonathan did for David. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us. We who were in danger of the judgment of the King have found one who is willing to step between us and mediate and provide us with safety. My God, our Father, is not the mad King Saul, but he is a righteous judge who will judge all sin in his presence and in his sight, and we as sinners needed one who would mediate and step between. Our Savior has done that for us. Friend loveth at all times. Brother born for adversity. A friend that sticketh close. Now the last time Jonathan and David meet is in chapter 23. 4th and final glimpse of their friendship together. David has been on the run. Some say months, others say years. He's been gone a long time. He's been living as a fugitive, a man on the run, like a hunted animal. And he's come to one of the most desolate places in all of Israel, the wilderness of Ziph. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 15. We read that David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel. Thy shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." And they too made a covenant before the Lord. David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. David has been wandering from place to place, running and hiding, always looking over his shoulder, tired, scared, frustrated, and Saul's men are closing in. They have him narrowed down to this little stretch of land, and they're preparing for the final kill. Saul has sent his forces to capture David and to kill him. Now, no one can really understand, I suppose, no one, unless you've been in trouble for a long period of time. David has been down so long that one commentator said that he has to look up in order to see rock bottom. Where's God now? The victory over Goliath is just a dim memory. Where's the Lord when I need him? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Doesn't he know the trouble that's following me? Doesn't he know the danger that's all around? Living like a hunted animal from day to day, week after week, month after month, David is brought low. If you want to know how David's feeling here in the wilderness of Ziph, read Psalm 54 this afternoon. And at the very moment of crisis, when it seems that the end is approaching, Jonathan shows up. Now how he finds out David's whereabouts, we're not told. How he managed to slip past Saul's army, we don't know. But somehow Jonathan shows up just when David needs him the most. He arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. There is the final quality of biblical friendship. We have seen commitment, we have seen protection, we have seen risk, now we find encouragement. It's one of the finest things that a friend can do for another, to help your friend find strength in God. That's what Jonathan did for David. He strengthened his hand in God. He encouraged him, keep looking to God. Keep trusting him. Keep following him. To encourage someone simply means to put courage back into someone. He strengthened the hands that were weak. He's lifted up the weary arms that have dropped. He's given that second wind to the runner who has almost exhausted his supply. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. How does he do it? How does he encourage David? He said unto him in verse 17, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. David, don't worry about it. Saul will not lay a hand upon you. God will see to that. God has called you to be the next king of Israel. There's no doubting the plans and purposes of God. If God has purposed to make you a king, then don't be afraid of what King Saul can do. Can't do anything without God's permission. Fear not, the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be a king over Israel. What God has said will come to pass. Never doubt, never fear. And I shall be next unto thee. I will serve by your side. That also Saul my father knows. Even Saul knows. He won't admit it. And he'll still send his armies out to find you. And he'll still talk about slaying you. But even he knows deep down that he's fighting a losing battle, that he can never win. What encouragement Jonathan gives to David. What faith he has in the plans and purposes of God, knowing that they will be fulfilled. They will not be thwarted. To have come all of this way to his friend David, the fugitive and bandit, and he says, David, you're going to make it. God has promised. God has said, you will be king, and I will be proud to serve by your side. David, I believe what God has said. And he strengthened his hand in God. A seems to be the last time that David and Jonathan ever met each other alive again. Jonathan will die by his father's side fighting the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. And when the news is conveyed to David of Jonathan's death, he said in 2 Samuel 1:26, he says, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." There were four qualities on display: commitment, protection, risk, and encouragement. They describe the friendship of Jonathan to David. They describe it, but they don't explain it. You have to go deeper if you want to understand. Back in chapter 20, in verse 23, Jonathan talking to David, he says, "The Lord be between thee and me forever." And when the Lord is between two people, their friendship can grow and develop and last forever. When the Lord is between two people, their friendship can survive separation, can survive misunderstanding, can survive even the hardest of times, because it's a godly friendship that is built upon the things of God. The Lord be between thee and me. It's the Lord that held them together. Now, we all need friends. Earthly friends, but more importantly, we need a heavenly friend. We need that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We need that one who is willing to draw alongside and comfort and encourage and, when necessary, to carry us through. Human friends can't always do that. The Lord Jesus Christ was described in the Scriptures as the friend of sinners. That's the friend. We need, when we choose our friends, to choose wisely, that they have a powerful influence over us. Proverbs 13:20 says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We all have experienced that as adults. Maybe the young people need to listen. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. You get like your company. Birds of a feather stick together. Whatever it might be, whatever expression you want to use, you become like your company. Avoid foolish friends. Avoid friendships based upon the wrong things and for the wrong reasons. That's why as parents we take interest in who our children make friends with. Because we know the influence that one can have upon another. Fair weather friends will come and go. Loyal friends are rare and precious. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One who's always loyal, always generous, always forgiving. One who offers wise counsel and encouragement. One who builds us up in the things of God. One who admonishes us when we are wrong and corrects us when we falter, because faithful are the wounds of a friend and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. There is a friend who will sharpen you as iron sharpeneth iron and make you a better person. That friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all human friendships fall short. The Lord Jesus Christ is the friend that we need. He's the one who, like Jonathan, stripped off the royal robe in order that we might wear it. He's the one who would go all the way to Calvary. He would lay down his own life. He would take our sins and our iniquity upon his own body and willingly pay the price in order that we might escape the judgment of God and be set free. Is there any better friend? How tragic it is when the very friendship of Christ is offered, that men and women and young people would turn away from it to look for the friendship of the world that offers no lasting value, rejecting the hand of God that's extended towards them. Oh, that we would know this friend that sticks closer than a brother. This friend that loves at all times. This brother born for adversity. May the Lord allow us to develop that ever-deepening relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. May it not be a friendship that we take for granted, but one that we seek to foster and build and grow, that we might be more like Him. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who so willingly did come to this world to seek and save that which was lost. We could say with David that there was but a step between us and death. We know that if Thy grace had been removed from us, we would have plunged for all eternity into that terrible abyss that awaits those who die outside of Christ. We thank Thee that even with the precarious balance of our soul being in the balance, we thank Thee that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ that friend that drew alongside, that not only comforted and encouraged, but also took the weight of our sins upon Himself, bore them away to Calvary, suffered and died so that we might not. And granted unto us the very robe of righteousness that allows us to be presented pure and spotless at the throne of God. We thank Thee that one day we shall enter into that glorious heaven that awaits the child of God. And Thy word reminds us that we will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank Thee, our Father, for the friendship and love of our Savior. A friendship and love of which we are not worthy, but one we pray that we might be devoted unto, and that we might see in our lives each and every day that deepening relationship with Thy Son, that we might live unto His praise, glory and honor, and that we might become more like our Savior. We pray that we might be a friend to those that are in need, that we might not care about the imbalance of relationships, that we might be willing to give more than we receive in order that we might demonstrate to others the love that God has had toward us, that we might do it gladly and willing and be that friend unto others that would ever point them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. To bless us, we pray, we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.